ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट 29। या पतिं हरिभावेन भजेत् श्रीरिव तत्परा हर्यात्मना हरिर्लोके पत्या श्रीरिव मोदते। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The woman who engages in the service of her husband, following strictly in the footsteps of the goddess of fortune, surely returns home back to Godhead with her devotee husband and lives very happily in the Vaikuntha planets. Purport: the faithfulness of the goddess of fortune is the ideal for a chaste woman. The Brahma Sanghita says, 5.29, Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambhrama Sevyamanam. In the Vaikuntha planets, Lord Vishnu is worshipped by many, many thousands of goddess of fortune. And in Goloka Vrindavan, Lord Krishna is worshipped by many, many thousands of gopis, all of whom are goddesses of fortune. A woman should serve her husband as faithfully as the goddess of fortune. A man should be an ideal servant of the Lord, and a woman should be an ideal wife like the goddess of fortune. Then both husband and wife will be so faithful and strong that by acting together they will return home back to Godhead without a doubt. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya gives this opinion: Hare Rasmin Stita Iti Strinam Bhartri Bhavana Shishyanam Cha Gurur Nityam Shudranam ब्राह्मणादिषु भृत्यानां स्वामिनी तथा हरिभाव उदीरतः। ए वुमेन शुड थिंक ऑफ हर हस्बैंड एज द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड। सिमिलरली ए डिसाइपल शुड थिंक ऑफ द स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर एज द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड। ए शूद्र शुड थिंक ऑफ अ ब्राह्मणा एज द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड। And a servant should think of his master as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, all of them will automatically become devotee of the Lord. In other words, by thinking this way, all of them will become Krishna conscious. The woman who engages in the service of her husband, following strictly in the footsteps of goddess of fortune, surely return home back to Godhead with her devotee husband and lives very happily in the Vaikuntha planets. Yudhishthira Maharaj is receiving these instructions from Narada Muni. Arjuna was hesitating to fight before the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and Krishna has to convince him. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was very much hesitating to sit on the throne, feeling guilty that because of him, all the this tragic war have taken place. And Krishna has to convince him. But indeed, Krishna, as a super soul within his heart, doesn't make him convinced with his words, but he brings him to Bhishma Dev, and wherein he receives instruction on various department of knowledge. And here also we are seeing Yudhishthir Maharaj is receiving similar instruction from Narada Muni. So the blessings of Vaishnavas for my own purification. We'll discuss some of the points from this illustrious purport of Srila Prabhupada. So in this chapter entitled The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes, description of Varnashrama is explained. So the goal of human life is to understand or develop a loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the ultimate purpose of human life. But because of our misfortune, we are conditioned within this body and we are covered by the lump of material senses which doesn't allow us to understand the absolute truth. In the Tattva Sandarbha, which we are hearing some time back, Jiva Goswami mentions the Supreme Absolute Truth is very pure, but our senses is very dull. She says, Achintya Alaukika Vastu Sparsha Ayogyatvat. Yogyata means qualification. Ayogyata means no qualification. So these dull senses cannot touch, Sparsha cannot touch the absolute truth, who is Alaukika, who is beyond the material world. Achintya, who is inconceivable. So that is a problem. That is a quality of the absolute truth, is achintya and alaukika, beyond the material world, inconceivable. On the other hand, what is the quality of our material senses? Brahmadi dosha chatushtayat. We are having these four defects of imperfect senses. We are having the senses are prone to commit mistakes, being illusion, cheating propensities. So these are the problem with us, but it doesn't mean that you can drag the absolute truth our level, that you know, I can understand absolute truth with my faulty faculties. No, he is alaukika achintya, he is beyond. So that is a problem which we are facing. So what to do in this situation? The goal of life is to understand the absolute truth, Krishna. Just like everybody in this material world working outside, everybody wants to become a rich man. And very rare people we see in this world who are rich man's sons and daughters. They can, without doing anything, naturally can inherit the property of the father and they can be rich. So, constitutionally, all of us are like that rich man's son and daughters, that we actually have the natural inclination to understand the absolute truth. Krishna is the supreme jewel of our life. But rest of the other, most of the population and outside world, in order to get that wealth, depending on their different situation and depending on their different circumstances and their ability, they are working in different way to come to that level. The whole world is running after money. Somebody who is less educated, they are doing very hard work to get that money. Somebody is more intelligent, they use their intelligence to get the money. So you use whatever situation you are trying to use that situation and trying to achieve that perfection of life, achieve be a rich man or so. So similarly, the example, similarly, the conditioned soul are like a poor man in the street. Different gradations of poor man. Some are more pure, some are less pure. So, because our senses are dull and we are imperfect, and the absolute truth whom we want to achieve is alaukika achintya vastu, supreme absolute truth is beyond the grab of our sensual faculties, and he is beyond this material world. So, how to do? What to do in this situation? So, there is a compromise is given. Krishna is very merciful. He did not tell us that you are unqualified to touch me or come near to me. So Krishna is mercifully given a compromised process by which we can gradually understand him and achieve him. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives the first class process, that is, always think of me, worship me. Krishna gives the option of Raghavanuga Bhakti. But because Krishna knows that most of the population, we are not qualified for that, so Krishna gives a second level that you perform Vaidhi Bhakti or use your senses in the service of Krishna and gradually get purified. Similarly, this Varnashram system is a compromise process which is given, awarded to the living entities, so that whichever level we are, whichever qualification we have, use that, and in that qualification serve Krishna and gradually purify our senses. Then with the purified senses, gradually you will be able to achieve the lotus feet of Krishna. So herein we are reading in this shloka and the purport, the duties of household life, duties of a woman, duties of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So these things are given in this particular purport, and the translation speaks about the duties of a woman, chaste woman. The purport Madhvacharya quotes, a woman should think of her husband as a supreme lord. Similarly, a disciple should think of the spiritual master as the supreme personality of Godhead. A Shudra should think of a Brahmana as the supreme personality of Godhead. So these are the nice thoughts, attitude different people should have in their life. So I thought of discussing a disciple should think of spiritual master as the supreme personality of Godhead. I can think of a small quote. A woman should think of her husband as the supreme personality of Godhead. After this one small quote, we will switch the topic to, a disciple should think of the spiritual master as the supreme personality of Godhead. There was one great acharya in the Sri Sampradaya. His name is Nampillai. And he happened to have two wives. So he called one of his wife and asked him that, what are you going to do? So she said that I am going to do these activities today and I am going to cook for you later. So he asked her that, so what is your thoughts? What are you thinking while cooking for me? So this wife, she said, I am cooking for my husband who is so dear to me, and I am so affectionate to you. You are such a nice husband for me. So he was glorifying him. I am cooking like this. She was a very chaste wife. So Nampillai was very happy and sent her back. And he called another wife, next wife of his, and asked her that, what are you going to do today? She also said, I am also going to cook for you. So he asked, what are your thoughts while cooking? So she replied that, when I cook for you, I always think that I am cooking personally for Lord Raghunath, Supreme Personality of Godhead, deity of Sri Rangam. So Nampillai, he was very satisfied and he was very happy and told her that she should be cooking for him every day. So this is a small quote I remembered, which is applicable to the purport. I don't know what the interpretation or the replications of the statements. So a woman should think of her husband as a supreme personality of Godhead. And also we see in the scriptures, there are many times these quotes comes, a disciple is like a, should behave like a chaste wife to the husband, who is a spiritual master. So spiritual master is actually one's whole life. So spiritual master can be considered as an comparable example to like that of a husband. And a disciple should serve him just like a chaste woman serve the husband without any deviation or without motivation. Similarly, a disciple should serve the spiritual master as one life and soul. Because in order to understand Krishna, like we discussed, the Krishna is and Achintya Vastu is the supreme absolute truth. And we are having these four defects. So the medium to understand Krishna is actually the spiritual master. Because the spiritual master with his pure senses, not even purified because he's always pure, with his pure senses, he is always in touch with Krishna, the Supreme Lord. And we, on the extreme side of impure senses, we have no connection with the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna. So, but the spiritual master is very merciful. Indeed, Krishna is very merciful that he has sent the spiritual master or guru as his own manifestation. Krishna himself says in the 11th canto, Acharya mam vijaniyam nam avamanyeda karhichit. That the Acharya should be considered as my own self. The spiritual master should be seen as non-different from me. So one should not disrespect him. So because spiritual master is Krishna himself, and Krishna mercifully manifested himself as a spiritual master, by serving the spiritual master, by seeing the spiritual master, one is actually having a direct one is getting the opportunity to get direct contact with the Supreme Lord. He is via media. In fact, the spiritual master is of different categories. It is said in the interesting quote that the spiritual master position is very much respected and very highly qualified position, that even the Supreme Lord wants to take that position. But the spiritual master cannot take the place of the Supreme Lord. It's like somebody wants to take a particular position. That position is considered to be very great. But the Supreme Lord position, nobody else can take. Only he can take himself. So that is the glory of the position of a spiritual master. Even the Supreme Lord wants to take his place, the spiritual master's place. So in the Panchatattva mantra, we see Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Srivas Thakur is a spiritual master who is a representative of the purified living entities. Narada Muni is a liberated eternal great soul. This great Jananivas Prabhu explained this Panchatattva in this way. So Srivas Thakur is a representative of the constitutional living entities. He is a pure living entity. So he is a guru. He is Acharya. And after approaching Srivas Thakur, the spiritual master, one is approaching the next level, Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya, whose appearance was yesterday, Advaita Acharya is considered a guru, a spiritual master, because Advaita Acharya means one who practices what he preaches, one who sets the example. So Advaita Acharya is a spiritual master who is very dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Mahavishnu himself. And he is the person who brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world. So without approaching Advaita Acharya, one cannot go to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one approaches Advaita Acharya, who is also a spiritual master. And then Advaita Acharya takes us in front of Nityananda Prabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu is again a direct manifestation of Sri Balaramji. And Balaram is actually everything for Krishna. He is he manifests the Sandini potency by which the whole spiritual world is expanded. He becomes the ornaments of Krishna. He becomes the bed of Krishna. He becomes the shoe of Krishna. He becomes the umbrella of Krishna. It is when Krishna walks, he becomes shoe. And Krishna lies down, he becomes the bed. Like Ananta Shesh is an expansion of Balaram Nityananda Prabhu. And when Krishna, sometime he becomes umbrella, like when the pastime of Krishna was being carried to Mathura by Vasudev, Balaramji comes as Ananta Shesh and he covers Krishna from the raindrops. So again, Balaramji serves Krishna in various ways. So if anybody wants to serve Krishna, one cannot go without the mercy of Balaram. And whose manifestation is, whose direct manifestation is Nityananda Prabhu. So one approaches Nityananda Prabhu, who is the spiritual master. And after approaching Nityananda Prabhu, the service, the ultimate purpose of service is to please Krishna. And Krishna is pleased by the service, or the exclusive pleasure to Krishna is stored in the service of Srimati Radharani. She is a pleasure-giving potency. So after the level, after the Nityananda Prabhu, approach Nityananda Prabhu, one should approach Gadadhar Pandit, who is an direct expansion of Srimati Radharani. And in the spiritual world, everybody serves under the guidance and direction of Srimati Radharani. That is Gadadhar Pandit. And then Gadadhar Pandit guides, recommends a person to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is also an Acharya, a spiritual master. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came down in this material world to teach us by his example how to perform devotional service to Krishna. So in this way, from Krishna down to our recent spiritual master, all of them can be considered as spiritual masters or gurus. So that is a greatness and position of a spiritual master. And here Prabhupada mentioned, a disciple should think of spiritual master as the supreme personality of Godhead. Of course, we understand that spiritual master is not directly the Supreme Lord. But a disciple should think of a spiritual master as directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The reason is because he is very close to the Supreme Lord. He is so dear to the Supreme Lord that the non-difference is in terms of his dearness and closeness to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's why a disciple should think of a spiritual master as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And a disciple should serve the spiritual master as his life and soul. Yesterday, Balaram Anandpur showed me a purport where Prabhupada mentions that if a person serves a spiritual master and if the spiritual master is pleased with him, all the knowledge is revealed to him. So how to please a spiritual master is by serving him. And there are three levels of serving a spiritual master is given. It's very inspiring to learn. The first level is said, related to this purport, is like a chaste wife serves a husband. The husband tells something and the chaste wife, by hearing the words of the husband, she faithfully executes his order. So that is the quality of a chaste wife. When a spiritual master says something, a disciple should execute his words as one's life and soul without any hesitation. So that is the quality of a disciple. A disciple should execute the orders of the spiritual master just like a chaste wife executes the orders of her husband. And even this seems like very difficult for us to understand or to do, both socially and spiritually. But this is the first preliminary level. And higher than this level is, a disciple should execute the orders of the spiritual master just like the senses are executing the orders of the mind. In the first level, the husband has to say something, speak something, and the words comes and they hear and they understand and it has to be executed. But the second level is even much more higher, that the orders of the mind and the senses are more even closely touch with each other. The mind and senses are, in fact, the mind is also considered as another sense. So the mind doesn't have to, speak out and wait for some time. As soon as the mind thinks, the senses immediately act. If you want to, scratch your head, mind just thinks and hand immediately goes. So similarly, when the spiritual master says something, your disciple should be so much ready that he should be able to satisfy him and please him without any hesitation. That is the second level. And the third level, which is even more higher, it is said, just like the consciousness for the self. The consciousness is a symptom of the self. So, one cannot say your soul is existing without consciousness. Soul means the symptom of soul is the consciousness. So, it is further said, your disciple should serve the spiritual master. In fact, his existence should be such that he cannot exist other than without the spiritual master. The consciousness, there is no question of consciousness without the presence of the soul. So, a disciple's existence, his thinking, his thought process should be non-different than the spiritual master's interest. In this regard, there is a nice pastime told by Kaustubh Prabhu, who was here a few days before. Once Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj called him, he had another servant. So he called his servant and told him that today I am going to take lunch prasadam here. So I would like you to go to Krishna Balaram temple and call of my god brothers and to take lunch with me. So he went, the servant went and called many of his god brothers and he came back and reported to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Maharaj, this Maharaj is coming and this Prabhuji is coming and this Maharaj is coming to you. They join lunch with you. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked, what about Dhanurdhar Swami? So he said, Maharaj, I asked him, but he told me that he has to do some other thing. So he's not coming. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said that you don't understand what I want you to do. You just doing a job. You are being told, you are just going and asking. He said, if you had the same desire like what I have, if you sincerely and desperately want him to come with me, like what I am thinking, if you have the same desperate and sincerity, when you ask him, you would have come, but you don't know what, you are not having the same attitude what I am having. Now you go back and call him sincerely and ask him desperately that I need association. So the servant went and Kaustubh Prabhu was called. And Maharaj told Kaustubh Prabhu that I want you to do this service in this mood, of my mood. That he quoted the servant that he didn't understand my mood. He just going and doing a job of just saying some recorded topic, recorded talk. But I want you to go and ask him. I want him to be here. So you go and ask him. So Kaustubh Prabhu understood the mood of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And went to Dhanurdhar Swami and told him desperately, Maharaj, please come. Tamalakrishna Maharaj is waiting for you. He need your association. Please join him for lunch prasadam. And Dhanurdhar Maharaj said, okay, I'll come. So Kausala Prabhu, he gave his realization that Tamalakrishna Maharaj told that if you have the same intensity and the same desire of what the spiritual master has, and if we have that, that is actually the closeness to the spiritual master. So that is a very high level which we can aspire actually. The consciousness to the self. There is no practically no difference between consciousness and the self. So there is no difference between the spiritual master and the disciple in regards to the consciousness, in regards to the thinking, in regards to the attitude to serve Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. And that is actually the greatest gift. When Srila Prabhupada, when he wrote the poem, Absolute Truth is Sentient, Thou Hast Proved, Impersonal Calamities Thou Hast Removed, when Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur read this particular poem, he exclaimed that how did this Abhay Charan have understood my heart? He understood my mission. So whatever Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had in the core of his heart is actually was understood by Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada actually could execute the vision of Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Similarly, when Srila Rupa Goswami wrote that poem he wrote the poem as an explanatory poem for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's poem, Mahaprabhu was so pleased and he told Swarup Damodar Goswami that how did Rupa Goswami understood my heart? And Swarup Damodar Goswami says that because Mahaprabhu, you bestowed his mercy upon him. So here again we see that the spiritual master's heart is understood by Rupa Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale. So that is the parampara. Rupa Goswami understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart, and Srila Prabhupada understood Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's heart. And we see whoever is there in that line of disciple succession who give their heart and soul to their spiritual master could do the extraordinary feat of spreading this Krishna conscious movement all over the world. And that is a primary qualification, that our ability is actually don't have any value, but because of pleasing the spiritual master, one can actually achieve whatever results one is achieving. One person approached his Grishkeshava Bharati Maharaj and told him that he was a devotee within our society, but then he left and he was associating with someone else who was also considered an advanced soul. But the attitude was, he came and told that, I am writing this particular Goswami's book and behind my hand is the hand of a pure devotee. So whatever I am writing is the best. And he said like that, and Keshava Bharati Maharaj said, I did not reply to him because the person whose name he is quoting is actually a very advanced person. But then Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, he is also doing the same work. But Keshava Bharati Maharaj just was sharing his experience that when they were coming together and editing the book and kind of making the book just about before the printing. So they were sitting together and discussing, and Jayadvaita Maharaj is an editor also, he was editing. So Gopi Paranadana Prabhu is also, who is a translator, He was saying, no, this is not the mood. This is not, you cannot edit this or you can add this. And they were discussing. And once upon a time, Keshav Bharati Maharaj said, Keshav Bharati Maharaj and Gopi Paranadhan Prabhu, they were crying because in tears of ecstasy that this is what is, because they were trying to understand which word to be put in this translation, in the purport. So finally, after trying so much and back and forth, they were sitting together and humbly they were praying to Prabhupada and Giriraj and the Goswamis. And finally, when they got that particular sentence, with all of them coming together, Keshav Bharati Maharaj said, many times we cried in happiness that this is what we wanted. This is what actually the mood of, this is what Jiva Goswami want to explain in these Sanskrit verses. So, then Keshav Bharati Maharaj said, my understanding is that when a person says that, because I am got the mercy of my spiritual master, that you know, I am great, that is actually, it's saying that my guru is great because he is my guru, or like me is become the prominent and he happened to my guru, that's why he is great. So he was just comparing the attitude, and Gopi Paranandana Prabhu and this devotee translating, that attitude is that of that I am useless person, I have no qualification, but because of spiritual master, not only spiritual master's mercy, one time His Holiness Raghunath Maharaj, he mentioned, when Vasudev Dutt received the extreme causeless mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually received the mercy, that is the perfection of life. But after receiving the mercy, generally when you get mercy of the spiritual master or senior devotees, we feel happy, that is natural. But also there is a kind of satisfaction and kind of a sense of relaxation or kind of, sometimes pride also comes. But in the Vrindavan Yatra, Ranath Maharaj mentioned that when Vasudev received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he received such an beautiful body, actually become more anxious and fearful of his situation. Because he is afraid that I don't deserve this mercy, and Mahaprabhu has given me so much of this mercy, and I'm afraid that I may become proud and fall down. So that is a quality, that is a quality of a disciple should aspire, that I don't have mercy of my spiritual master. I don't deserve the mercy of my spiritual master. So I am fallen. And if a person receives the mercy of the spiritual master, we should think that, oh, I received the mercy of my spiritual master, I am unqualified, but I am afraid that I will become proud, or I will become and more relaxed, or I will become lazy. So that's actually in both stage of life, of in perfection stage and in practice stage. Practice stage is to receive the mercy of the spiritual master, and perfecter stage is receiving the mercy of the spiritual master. In both stage, a devotee is humble and always fearful of losing that mercy. Then Mahaprabhu, of course, advised him that you chant the holy names of Krishna attentively and sincerely, and then you will not become proud. So here again we see the spiritual master's mercy is there, but the one should always feel that one is unqualified. Actually, recently I heard one of the senior devotee was talking to His Holiness Raghunath Maharaj, and Maharaj has given us some very simple service. But when he called up and asked him that, did you do this service? Then after this devotee gave the report, and Maharaj was thanking him so much. And so it is a greatness of the spiritual master that he thanks. But it is said that a servant should not be glorified in front, and a disciple should not also be glorified, but a guru should be glorified at the spot directly. If a disciple sees the spiritual master, he should glorify. But so that is a part of the disciple. The disciple should always glorify the spiritual master. But a spiritual master not necessarily has to glorify or acknowledge the service of the disciple. But that is the greatness of a guru. He glorifies and acknowledges the service of the disciple. But a disciple has to compare to this example, that he is not become proud or thinking himself great, that, you know, I am doing something to spiritual master. So this devotee was like laughing, why Maharaj is telling so much about this, a simple thing I did. So that is actually an aspiration of a sadhaka, that always grateful to the spiritual master and whatever he has told, and after executing the service, the attitude of, like we discussed, this varnashram dharma is a compromise given so that we don't know Krishna. So you are a Brahman, be a Brahman and try to please Krishna. That is actually a mercy of Krishna given upon us to engage our senses. Similarly, spiritual master, because we don't have direct touch with Krishna, Krishna mercifully sends a spiritual master, and the spiritual master, to purify us, he engages us in his service. And not only purifying us, in the perfection stage also, we are actually doing service to the spiritual master. So that is actually that is the mercy of the spiritual master. So a devotee is not becoming proud or feeling himself that I am doing some favor for the spiritual master. But if a person thinks that I am doing something great to the spiritual master, and that is a very dangerous situation. To conclude with the last statement, he mentioned that a sadhaka devotee should be humble because he doesn't know who is Krishna, because his senses cannot approach Krishna. And a pure devotee, he is humble because he knows who is Krishna. So both stages of practice and perfection, one has to be humble, understanding his qualification. But if a person in the practice stage, that's more often happens, that doing certain achievements in spiritual life or performing certain feats in spiritual life, if we think that we have done this great, actually that is the most dangerous part, because still we don't know who is Krishna, and the spiritual master is mercifully engaging us in the service of Krishna to purify us. So that is just like a blind man, like a tongue is there. The tongue cannot taste anything without the presence of water in it. And a nose cannot smell anything without the presence of air around us. And the ear cannot hear anything without the presence of sound. So these senses of themselves cannot do any of these activities. So we can do anything in the spiritual life only because of the mercy of the spiritual master and because of the chanting of the holy name. Prabhupada once told his Western devotees that actually you have no qualification, that you cannot do anything, but all these big achievements you achieved only because of you are chanting Hare Krishna. So because of that reason of Krishna's mercy and the spiritual master mercy alone can make us qualified to perform anything in our spiritual life. Without that, with our own abilities, we cannot perform any activities. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here. Sorry if I spoken anything beyond my realization. This is only this good opportunity only for this reason, that all of you are seeing me. So I take this opportunity that you can please bless me and pray for me that I am able to do some service to please spiritual master and all the devotees. Hare Krishna. Any comments or corrections? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai ho!